Corsican Brothers. From the novel by Alexandre Dumas. In this strange tale of twin brothers who were linked by an extraordinary bond of telepathy, we find Pierre Gaudet hurrying from Corsica back to Paris, there to tell Louis Prevost the amazing tale of his birth. Meanwhile, Lucien de Franchi had gone off on a hunting trip into the mountains with his friend Griffo. His hated enemy, Dino Godici, who lived in the south of Corsica, had heard the news that his daughter had been ambushed by Lucien de Franchi and had hurried back to his home to make sure that she was quite unharmed. He then told her that he had learned that Lucien and a friend were hunting in the mountains, and he knew the exact spot where they were to be found.
Isn't it perfect, Marianne? I know the exact spot. It is just below Mount Finder, the plain in the valley. There they will be hunting wild boar and shooting pheasants. And we'll be shooting pheasants, too. Pheasants of another feather.
Are you sure of this, Father?
I had it from the peasants on the way through. And you know how they learn these things. We'll show these to Francie, my girl. We'll make them bite the dust. By heaven, if only I could get Lucy into Francie. What a game I would have, what a sport. The proud and noble family of the Francie.
What would you do?
I would bring him here to our village and torture him until he screamed for mercy. I would have the whole countryside out to hear those screams. The screams of an Afanshi begging for mercy from a Gadichi.
I don't think you would ever hear that.
What? You know the Afanshi. You know them for the cowards that they are, the filth.
Yes, of course they are. But they've fought us back over several hundred years, Father. There must be some backbone, surely.
But tell me, what happened when you rode through the pass? Oh, if only I'd been with you. Marianne, if anything had happened to you...
There's nothing to tell.
But there must be. Haven't I ridden here at breakneck speed just to make sure you weren't wounded? I can't understand Lucien de Franchi misfiring. One of the deadliest shots in Corsica. And you crossing a bridge at the pass of the timer. A perfect mark. How is it that you're here, safe and alive, talking with me this day?
I was captured alive.
You were?
Yes, and, well, I escaped. That's all. There's nothing more to say.
But how?
Lucien de Franchi let me go free.
Let you go free? Oh, Marianne, you are a wonder joke with your old father. A de Franchi to let a Gadici go free, that's rich. Pietro, Pietro.
Coming,
Pietro will relish this. Ah, Pietro, Pietro, the joke of Corsica. My daughter Marianne was set free by Lucien de Franchi.
Set free? Is that a joke, Dino?
A very rich joke, don't you think?
You may be my brother, but you have a very poor sense of humor. A joke is a joke only when it is not fantastic.
And you think it fantastic that Lucien de Franchi would set me free?
I think it much more likely that he'd rend you apart limb from limb, my dear Marianne. And let me tell you this. He's a very fierce young man from all accounts. Judging from his talk in Ajaccio and in Calvé, he would be merciless. I shiver at the thought when I think that you rode through the pass alone that night. Has your father told you the news?
Yes.
Well, what's the matter, Marianne? Why do you look at us so queerly?
Nothing. Nothing, only... Are you really going up to Mount Santa?
Why not?
Indeed, why not? Perhaps there will be some rending limb from limb then, eh, Dino?
No, no!
My dear niece, you're not beginning to pity Lucien de Franchi. You who have always professed so much hate.
No, of course not. Naturally, I hate him. I loathe him. I spit when his name passes my lips. But I...
But what?
Never mind. You're tired, Father, and you too, Uncle. I'll see that a good meal is prepared for you and a long glass of wine. You both look as though you need it.
Meanwhile, Pierre Gaudet sailed on his way from Ajaccio to Toulon and thence to Paris. His one thought was to find Louis Prevost and tell him the amazing truth about his twin brother. However, his plans went a little awry when he hurried up the steps of the spacious house in the Rue Gabelais and was ushered into Louis's spacious apartment on the second floor, only to find that young man in a state of excitement bordering almost on hysteria.
Pierre, it's come! It's come!
Well, this is a nice greeting. But perhaps you're referring to me. I've just arrived back from Corsica. Cut my journey short, in fact.
Oh, have you, Pierre? Welcome back to Paris. But look, look, this letter. It came by messenger this morning. It's from her.
From Emilie Latouche?
Yes. Oh, Pierre, I dared not think of it. Even when on the terrace she told me she loved me, I thought to myself, it's the madness of the moon, the enchantment of the night, with the music drifting out onto the terrace and the perfume of the flowers rising from the garden. Such things bewitch a young, beautiful girl. But, Pierre, this proves it. It proves everything.
Show me.
Emilie was called back to Paris suddenly yesterday. Her father and mother are here. This afternoon, she'll be walking in the gardens, and she tells me... Here, let me read you this part. Darling Louis. You hear that, Pierre? Darling Louis. Darling Louis, I've missed you so much. I was desolate in the country, but now that I'm back in Paris, my first thought is for you. Naturally, during my first evening home, I must spend it with Papa and Mama in the house. But this afternoon, I shall be walking with my Aunt Cecilie in the small park in front of the Tuileries Palace. My darling one, I shall contrive that we shall pass in front of the palace gates at 3 by the clock. If you're not there, I shall be desolate.
Well?
Pierre, I'm the happiest man in the whole world. She loves me. Emilie Latouche, who could have 100 young men at her feet worshipping her, chooses me.
Congratulations, but... Louis... I came here specially to see you because...
Oh, can we meet later? Please, I haven't time now. I must change my cravat and my coat and breeches. Even now, I'll be racing against the clock. The messenger came late. Perhaps while I hurry through my dressing.
No, Louis. What I have to say will demand all your attention. All your concentration.
Concentration? I can concentrate only upon one person, one thing, Pierre. There'll be an event in my life at 3 o'clock this afternoon. I'm meeting my world, my happiness... My entire future.
Your future. If only you could look into your future, Louis.
Easily done, Pierre. I shall look into her eyes. Her lovely blue eyes in front of the Tuileries Palace at 3 this afternoon.
Louis.
Emilie. Oh, Emilie.
You received my note. I thought it might be late arriving.
I've been waiting here half an hour.
But I said 3.
I know, but I was hoping that you might be 5 minutes early, just so that I could have 5 minutes more of your time. Oh, Emilie, you're looking more lovely than ever.
You say the prettiest things. Oh, Louis, Louis, darling, if only I could stay, but my aunt, she's over there by the fountain feeding the pigeons. I sneaked away on a pretense. I'm supposed to be buying more grain. I want to tell you, Louis, we've been asked to a ball tomorrow night. I was hoping that you could contrive...
To be there? Tell me quickly, whose ball is it?
Some friends of my father's, the English people, Cromwell.
Oh, I know them, but not well. However, I'm sure I can manage. I must be there.
We can talk more then. My aunt is so severe. A perfect chaperone in her own eyes, but in mine...
Oh, darling, I feel like taking you in my arms and kissing you right here in front of the gates of the palace.
You're a shocking young man. So daring and yet so provocative. You will try tomorrow night?
I'll be there. There's so much I want to tell you. So much about the future. I know your father's in town.
Louis, away quickly. Here comes my aunt. She's seen us.
Oh, Emilie, what will happen? You'll get into trouble.
Never mind. I can manage my Aunt Cecily. Go quickly and remember tomorrow night. Hello, Aunt Cecily.
The young man looks like a hunted rabbit scurrying down the street. You dismissed him very quickly.
I'm not speaking to you, Aunt Cecily. You promised me 10 minutes.
I've had to forget my promise. It was a very foolish arrangement on your part, Emilie, arranging to meet a young man in front of the palace gates. Supposing some friends of your father's saw you as they were driving in, what would he have to say to me?
Never mind, he's gone now, and he thinks I sneaked away from you and that you know nothing about it.
But why all this subterfuge? Oh, Emilie, you're full of tricks.
This is the best way, Aunt Cecily. A stolen meeting is so much more exciting than an arranged one. And I must always excite Louis, just in case.
In case of what, child?
There must be other young women like me, Aunt Cecily. Young women who are just as attractive. Perhaps they, too, have heard of the great wealth which Louis Prévost which will inherit.
It won't won't be long before we reach the top of the rise, Pietro.
And then the valley, do you know?
Yes.
Do you think they'll camp in the valley?
Well, we would if we were hunting on the other side of the mountain now, wouldn't we?
Yes, that's true enough.
Besides, it's the only place where we can get water in the district. Anyway, we'll soon know. Sun's almost set. Where he camps, there'll be a spiral of smoke. Oh, here we are, Pietro.
How lovely the setting sun. The Valley of Peace, the Corsicans have always called it.
Perhaps that's an omen. With Lucy and De Franchi dead, there will be peace for us, the Gudici. Peace after 2 centuries.
There's still the mother.
Oh, she's of no account. There'll be no sons to carry on the name. What is one woman against so many of us? She's of no account at all. We could put her out of existence almost at once, as soon as the sun's removed.
You know, look.
A spiral of smoke. My information was correct. So Lucien de Franchi and his friend camp on the plain, eh? It's growing dark already now the sun has gone. This will be their last night, Pietro. Their last night of living. While they are asleep in their tent, we shall creep upon them and stab. Stab hard.
As the long fingers of dusk crept from the horizon down the misty peaks to the lovely valley, darkening its hue from dark blue to lilac, then to purple, the two Gudici carefully made their way down the tortuous mountain path which led to the valley. A spiral of smoke still went heavenward as the two hunters, Griffo and Lucien de Franchi, sat over a baked pheasant, part of the spoils from their hunt that day. Little did they realize that down the dark mountain, threatened death was making its way. Death in the form of a dagger, behind which was the vengeance of hundreds of years. Make sure you hear the next enthralling episode of The Corsican Brothers.